that's the record button. Have we started?
We have started.
So, this is the Meet for TeaCast. It might always start like that. Who knows?
Hi, everybody.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Season 5.
Episode 21.
Of the Meet for TeaCast. Thank you for joining us again.
Yes, yes. Thank you. I'm Mark Allen Miller.
I'm Elizabeth McDuffie. We have a special, another special live recorded episode for you.
It's like a series that we're actually starting, I think. We're recording
these things. I think it is. Live meet.
Yeah, and a lot of these are being recorded at Splendor Soulless Books in Northampton, which is a really wonderful place to go see a reading. So
it's a fantastic place. And this time we went there for Arts Night Out on May 10th. We went and saw the wonderful poet Jen Jobbly Blackburn read from her new book, Girl in a Bear Suit, which is just an amazing book. She takes a character from Ovid's Metamorphosis, which if you have not read Ovid's Metamorphosis, you ought to. It's worth it. Anyway, she works with Callisto and does a whole lot of interesting things with that character. Callisto was punished for her own rape, as women in mythology were, by being turned into a bear. So maybe she mauled her rapist to death after.
One would hope.
She didn't. That was just common in Greek mythology. If you were raped, you were punished by being turned into an animal. A lot of it had to do with, well, there's all sorts of things. Hera was often turning women that Zeus slept with into one thing or another because she was pissed off. And I'm going to give you a little background on Jen Jobbly Blackburn. And we were delighted to meet her husband, Greg, and her little girl, Coraline. And to discover a really cool band. Coraline was wearing a t-shirt from a band called Cheekface. They had been the previous night to see Cheekface playing in Boston.
And so needless to say, on the way home from the reading, we put on Cheekface, and they're really good.
They're amazing. I love Cheekface. They're a new favorite band.
No, They Might Be Giants vibe at spots.
Right? Yeah, a little Talking Heads Remain in Light moments too. So anyway, this book, Girl in a Bear Suit, Jen Jobbly Blackburn's first book of poems, was selected by Christopher Citro as winner of the 2023 Elixir Press Annual Poetry Prize. It's just released in April. Her work has appeared in multiple publications, including Palette Poetry's Salamander, Banshee, Massachusetts Review, The Common, hoping it's coming soon to Meet for Tea. Her poems have been twice selected for Best New Poets. She's at work on a series of mixed media pieces, Hem, drawn again from the Metamorphosis of Ovid. And she now lives in East Hampton. And she's also sitting on the board of Perugia Press. They are friends of ours, and associate editor of Nine Syllables Press, housed at Smith College, where she is program and outreach coordinator for the Butelde Poetry Center. So there's a bio for you.
Yeah, that's quite a good bio.
Be impressed.
Yes, be very, very impressed. So before we talk into this wonderful reading, we should probably get a little housekeeping done.
We have some people to thank for reviews.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Matthew McKee left another review.
Thank you, Matt.
And on this one, he says, it's a poor life without poetry, and Meet for Tea is enlightening and enlivening. What more could you want? Professor Weddle is a great intellect, and Elizabeth, as always, does an excellent job keeping the conversation flowing at just the right speed. That was on the episode featuring, well, Jeff Weddle.
If you haven't heard that one, you want to. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
They all are, but that's just my humble opinion. And then also, we got a new follower in Save the Last Pod.
Yeah, another podcaster. Thank you.
Yeah.
5-star review.
So, yeah, thanks, Save the Last Pod. And it's save, one word, the last pod, one word. So
I'm going to have to listen to some of their episodes. I'm curious. Nice to know you, Save the Last Pod.
Yes.
All the best ways to support us could be found on our website.
That's meetfortea.com.
M-E-A-T-F-O-R-T-E-A. There you will find ways to subscribe to Meet for Tea, get it in your mailbox 4 times a year. That's one of the very best ways to support us, is to become a subscriber. You can buy individual issues in either print or PDF form. You will see ways to donate. There's our Patreon page. We are going to be bringing you new Patreon material.
There's one going up really, really soon, actually.
And there's our Spring store where we're still running a sale.
With the coupon code Earl Grey. One word.
One word. Because that is...
free shipping.
Free shipping. So get your beach towel. Summer is coming. Get your tote bag to put your beach towel in. Your water bottle. Do we have meat for tea bathing suits yet? We've looked into that.
No, they were complicated and difficult to get manufactured, so we don't have them yet. Maybe they've changed it and we can look into it again.
Yeah, we'll try again. But we do have beach towels and t-shirts. Do we have slides yet?
No, we don't have those.
All these things that we need to have coming. And we don't have hats either, do we?
Thought we did, but now I don't know. There's so many products that we could have. It's crazy.
There's so many things that you can let us know that you want. And that's something, you know, we love hearing from you guys. We love your 5-star reviews with writing. And that helps us a lot. That keeps us sitting at least as high as number 2 and sometimes number 1 in the top 100 performing arts podcasts in the indie category. That's what moves us up there. But you know, leave a voice memo. Say, I was looking in the Spring store and I wish you had XYZ.
Okay. And we'll make at least X, Y, or Z.
Well, or we will do our darn best.
Yes, exactly.
To get it to you. We, speaking of Earl Grey, that is the theme of our upcoming issue, which we are in the process of laying out right now.
Mm-hmm.
It will be released
June 1st.
And we have a Cirque.
Yes, June 1st.
June 1st. This is in loving memory of artist and filmmaker David Longy. A good chunk of the magazine is dedicated to writings and photos from his friends, remembering him from various points in his life. At the Cirque itself, the art on exhibit and the films will be by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a very bittersweet, lovely event.
It's going to be beautiful.
Yes, exactly. And we've got Prozacs and...
Futon Lasagna.
Yes.
Coming from Boston.
Yes, great music that night. Abandoned Building Brewery in East Hampton.
Yeah.
Doors are at 7. Bring your friends.
Come on out.
And we'll see you there. So, should we tuck into the reading?
I think we should.
Yes, let's.
Enjoy this special live event.
Yes. Yeah, I write like interesting stuff
coming
out.
Like,
see Jen Lee
in
the book.
Yeah.
I think you know
everybody. I think I do. So, hi, family and friends, and friends I've just met, and neighbors also. So, thank you so much for inviting me, Diane.
Absolutely. Glad to have you here. Thank you for coming.
And, yeah, and thanks for recording. It was Liz and Mark?
Elizabeth.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Elizabeth. but yeah, thanks for recording this. That's that'll be fun.
Thanks for being amenable.
Yeah.
It'll be a good episode.
So, yeah, I am Jen Jabaley Blackburn. I think all of you know that. But this is my past month book, Girl in a Bear Suit. So I'm going to be reading mostly selections from this book. I also have a couple of new poems that I just wanted to try out. So it seemed like a fun way to bring those into the world. What are the things that you need to know before getting into this? So many of these poems are going to be centered around a character, Callisto. Callisto is a figure from Ovid's Metamorphoses. So we have Greek mythology coming through Rome. She, as the title might imply, was transformed from someone in a sort of humanoid body to a bear. So a lot of the poems from her, it's either her perspective or a perspective very near to hers, is going to deal with that transformation and what it means for this character. I want to start off with one that's a little more general in terms of metamorphosis and reading, reading Ovid, which has been a huge part of my reading life since I was very small. So this is The Many Exciting Possibilities of Metamorphosis. Not all rocks are rock rocks. Some are observed to cry, but never know it. Some cry reverberant with lost children. Some rivers disappear underground and reappear somewhere safer. Some flood out of pure panic. If you find you are now a tree, may you be a tree where no one has ever known you. May they not harvest your limbs. May you never be one. Maybe you'll be granted long life, then held in the after by your best other's branches. May you become a wild thing and not remember the idea of hunter before his arrow has gone and translated you to stars. May you rest under a dome of snow in dreamless sleep. No clock, but the sense the air is full again. No blank, cold scent of ozone. You could become a boring gray bird who gets 3-odd more winters, or a bird who makes boring birds struggle in her beak. Maybe one night you'll go to sleep by a can of springwork snakes and wake up a mass of live snakes decorating the head of a creature who's never existed before or since. May you then make your own creature who doesn't look a bit like you, a creature in need of two saddles, the solid first to hold a rider, the other a mother's invisible wish to fly. May you serve yourself in this new life. So the next one, we'll start getting into some Callisto poems. I'll try and read the title and the subtitle just to give you a sense of where we are. They're going to be roughly in order just to also get a sense of like what that feels like in the book. So this is Callisto, Disambiguation. Callisto may refer to a dead moon or a girl in a bear suit. Girl in a bear suit may refer to itself and its reverse, a recursion of bears and girls trading wardrobes. Or is itself a dead moon? Dead moon may refer to goth makeup that never suited but wore anyway to show I meant business. I did not mean business. But love to stress my most terrible features, eyes and lips sharp as snakes. Apparently, a cruise is the least stressful form of vacation if the sample is restricted to those likely to go on cruises. If there is water on Callisto, and she is not actually dead, there is no possibility of a cruise. The water, if present, may, in fact, be a nest. This is Callisto, Contronym. I am trying to connect with you. First, thank you for letting me adapt your memory. Now, when I say imagine being lost, I mean you have been mislaid. The cute little button on the cushion in the vitrine where you have been displayed and contextualized, is getting cold. This obviously is pure allegory. No one lives like that. But you, yourself, vitally, are not lost. Rather, you're watching other people function inside your absence. You're hiding from the neighbors, dragging the reservoir for you. There's no protocol, no dispatches from past explorers, even less for what to make of the neighbor's vacillations. Honest civic grief, mixed with the checking of unread texts, the carry-onness of it is so obvious, and yet feels like a bruised bone. These huffs I make when distressed are so uncanny valley. Experts, I have new experts. Say they resemble human noise, but are distinctly not. Such bluster to say, no, you, human, scare me. I do not want to be a cautionary tale. Well-hemmed moral for spooking school kids. The delicate haunt forever memorialized by a single photograph. A single expression chosen for its neutrality. But no one sends the scent hounds after an eternal eye roll. Left manages to mean both remains and departed. The goblin and the ghost. A body, its rubric. Would have wanted it this way. This is Callisto. Buys off the guard dog. Once I was asked to name my favorite color, and surprised to me, said plummy purple. Color of my first lash out into a world of thingness. A change purse in the shape of a silk fish. How I keep bringing its surfaces toward me. I can't stress how weird it is to relearn currency. Away from people, what even is money? Money nowhere near as good as how to solve a problem, how to eat. The dog guarding the garbage pile doesn't want money. Money just a hum on a server, a fan overclocking. What would the dog do with a collection of hums? The dog wants a bone. I bring him the femur of a deer, not clean, not even cool. He looks away and lets me pass. I did that. My currency. It almost looks human. All right, this is Callisto and the Mad Honey. Mad Honey, I don't know. You probably know what this is, but just in case, this is a kind of honey that's made from a certain kind of rhododendron that when bees collect the pollen, it makes the honey psychoactive to any creature that consumes it. This does sometimes include bears, so there we go. Callisto and the Mad Honey. Last night, I dreamt I went to Dairy Queen again. I went to the grocery store and stress ate fistfuls of Cavallonero, and no one so much as looked at me. I melted in a bath of sheer proximity, felt the warmth of a crowd like dough coming together, the glutinous matrix of a world in making. I felt entirely osmosed and molecular. Last night I dreamt I held a dear friend in a steam bath. He would hate this. But just like an Italian painting of Jesus, everything felt gilt and serious. A Giotto with lines of red spider silk renovating a holy man's heart. Except just between us, I was embarrassed by the intimacy, but my lips direct to God. Last night, I dreamt a man in a broad-brimmed hat hemmed me into his chest, then settled my body alone into a sun-warm bed of a pickup truck, where lazy clouds disassembled overhead and reformed into a Georgian Riviera of citrines and gold. What can I say? Except everybody's living in a material lair, and last night, I swear, I dreamt I was only a girl again, who went type, type, type about her moods in the cold high garret of her skull, just one small endless coal and a mouse in a teapot for company, irregular as ever, a wave in confused sea, ending in a gentle, icy curl. I'm going to do a couple more of these and then move on to some non-Callisto poems. So this is Callisto Business Casual. The first time I met a hiker, I was not prepared and knew only half of the conversation, like an actor taking a stage telephone call, and it was his half. It's Go away, bear, I wanted to say to him. You need to say it loud enough for me to hear, but not so loud it might startle me. You were supposed to be clapping and singing. Oh, what a beautiful warning. Whatever. The words don't matter. Please, just a simple, go away, bear. Not too rot. No sweat. Say it in business casual. I'm gonna finish off this part with one more from this bit. So this is Callisto, muzzle. How I've grown to love the how is this not scripted growth of raspberries, drupelets, little living vessels, little ports en route to the heart, palmfuls of birdseed's oil-slick cores that put me in mind of blooming, cracked against the ground, opened and swallowed, rich little suns. I'm going to read this one because I know it's one of Greg's favorites, so I'll go for it. This is for Gene Kelly. A stare never rang the right bells in me. No, sir, I am Gene Kelly's girl. Always wanted to be Sid Charisse, rippling off your arm like a sail everywhere. Disappearing, reappearing. Sometimes it seemed you were pure energy, compressed and desperate to burst. The ballet with Charon in Paris. Fucking hell, it makes me want to take off all my clothes and then get more clothes on just to remove them. How did we let you fall out of fashion? It's nothing short of criminal. Oh, you jester, you kestrel, you lynx, you lion, don't look at me. I can't explain it. Muscles are having a zeitgeist moment. No love left for spark and smolder. We like our beefcakes ostentatious. All these abs, these delts, these pecs as hard as deglutinized loaves. Our century's taste? Are questionable. You had muscles, but used them. Our stars are Range Rovers bought for conquering Brooklyn. It's still searing to think of your boundless legs failing, but I saw it. They trotted you out after the stroke to collect a medal. It was endless, ugly, unholy, an act of vandalism in a cathedral. Why are they doing this? I remember thinking, Xanadu was a mercy next to this. You were going out the way you wanted, the whole giddy future zooming up on roller skates, like anything could catch you on roller skates. I feel like I have to read my South Shore poem, my explicitly South Shore poem. I won't disappoint. So this is Braintree. Nice. All of this was farmland once. When they came to build the incinerator, my father dressed like a masked outlaw. His friends carried 6-foot pencils. My sister and I carried Mike Dukakis in a tank. Our mother carried us children home, and the adults had sandwiches in jail. All of this is true. Jellyfish found belly up in the salt marsh, so small as to look harmless. When possible, our passions are graspable. Mandatory karaoke Fridays, jade or golden bowl, always a choice. One church or the other. All of this was farmland once. Where we are dancing was once a horse. Helen, late of the old country, please choose. Dogged fire or glowing grate. Machined lace for every maple table. Beloved cypress paneling new owners haul out. Rhodic lack the shibboleth. All of us are from here, but some are more from here than others. On the classroom wall, the lonely Yates watching over brass chain glasses down his nose. I propose we build in Watson Park a shrine to last working payphones. Stars deceptively near, and yet so small as to look harmless. St. Bridget's friable cross above the door. Cigarette fires rip the cattails in the marsh, glass shards in the parking lot erect diadem. No country for old Helens. Blonde Mr. Fizz Ed oils his feet in the center of the library. Unforgivable. Doughy feet gleaming like combative seals under the fluorescence. His younger self locked in the mural in the foyer. The mascot, a bodiless feathered chief cast as his fawning moon. The building's architecture is considered to be brutalist. Napthal smell on the tracks off pond. The last actual nuns wandering the drugstore. The replica Umbrian church, terracotta and snow. St. Francis's living epaulettes. Francis, patron saint of animals, though always the same. Small passerines, rabbits, deer. You never see St. Francis attended by porcupines. You never see him cradling a jellyfish, its gas flame cool in his palm. For river and ever, bonus moon bobbing on the surface belly up. Our excuse for the sea, so small as to look harmless. One more from here, and then I'm gonna pick up a few new ones. This, I realize now that, like, my taste in lipstick has never changed. When I don't wear it all the time, but when I do, it's, like, very 90s. This is Duet for Fiddle and Violin. I promise it'll be relevant. I grew up believing fiddle was the immature form of violin. See grub, larva, nymph. When I was 17, I could have described the precise shade of lipstick my leveled up self would wear once I became a violin person. Heel crushed cacao. When I was 17, there was a movie about a red violin entering lives across centuries. I haven't seen it. That's not important. In it, each owner discovers the name tag hidden inside the violin. Hello, my name is something illegible. It is either very rare or the other thing. But how one held it and felt outside time. Whole and chosen, planetary as a plum in light. Where I've written the red violin, please hear it with Baroque flourishes. Bloody, double stopped. The red violin lived through wars, never knowing if it caused them. And no one ever told it when the wars ended. It only saw people could laugh and kiss and stay in hotels and ride trains to the seaside again. Had it taken itself to the sea, the red violin might have discovered love under a meringue gazebo. Or it might have suffered from salt air, supposedly miraculous for human lungs and vague female conditions. I have a violin, plainest brown, our impulse purchase, our simple fiddle. Once in a while, it suddenly made visible, hoisted like an infant from its velvet-lined case. It sits awkwardly through our odes to joy, our Eau Claire de la Lunes, the kind of tune a child should be able to play. Little fiddle, I might yet hold you in front of a red curtain inside a perfectly round projection of moon. Lips brown as blood one. This is the same word we use for hostages, held, like an egg in a soft mouth. Look, while you sleep, I will plaster your case with hotel labels. Venice, Zanzibar, Blue Marseille. I will ask how you enjoyed the sea. I wanted to do like two newish ones. I just have to choose which ones they are. Do the two like kind of prosy ones. These are also, one's a little bit, one's very Braintree. this is, I think names have been changed. I'm not even sure anymore. Like people. Jen Bolin had it figured out. In the locker room, you could go ahead and borrow her hairbrush if you'd swear you'd never caught lice. Lie, pled the foot pedal sink, simple as a needle in the eye. Rise, begged the soap grinder, who saw Carrie Marks ascend, Jen's dear donkey, who had to know we remembered when her mother had to pick her up from the nurse and couldn't even look at her, tiger-striped acrylics clawing phantoms at the back of her own neck. Hide, invited the speckled mirror, like a hand waving from inside a subway car door. I applied my dark fig jam smirk and rehearsed being extra dimensional. Even then, such an unheimlich old thing, a circus monkey in a ruff, just like people. Where's Jen now? I ask, idly, without wonder. Pilgrim Road still? Or promoted to the Highlands? Maybe rejoined to the cosmos, absolutely everywhere, patron saint of adults throwing supermarket tantrums. It's possible Jen Bolin is alive, but no longer Jen Bolin. We could be co-workers. We could be side-eyeing break room post-its from different corners of a room. I flatter myself. The myriad dispersed aspects of Jen Bolin co-work with no one. They set the menus, sign the checks. The checks aren't much, but I enjoy spending them. Yeah, I'm gonna do it. So this is called Mommy Hotel. Mommy Hotel is a hotel, not a motel, but it may look like one. It is right next to the sea. It is not an express. It is not a by Marriott. There are no beeping breakfast machines in the lobby. There is no lobby. Mommies do not have to pay for a mommy hotel. It is paid in full by a Cool Aunt Energy Foundation. No one needs to apply. It's basically a MacArthur for mommies, where someone puts your name in, then one day in the future, you get a call saying, "Hey girl, it's Mommy Hotel. Welcome." The selection process is opaque, but the one thing you know is you do not have to be good. Once a day, your loved ones drive by in red parade cars waving. They never say, "Miss you." No, it's always a sunny, "See you soon." The staff is so well paid by Big Cool Aunt. The mommies all say thank you for everything, every time, but neatly in a way that considers the recipient's feelings. There's an office with everything you need. Your projects can go in a cupboard by the door. Someone will launder your also-no tote bag. Go ahead, sneeze. You can pee on anything. You can ask for a shiny puce liver at the desk like you might a toothbrush. There's the sea right there, but no pressure. If you want to just watch it to an erratic party of wind chimes, okay. You can go in if you want, but do whatever. That's it. Thanks, guys. Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
I'm gonna go there for Mother's Day.
I figured, yeah, Mother's Day is coming up.
And where's Big Cool Aunt? I want Big Cool Aunt.
Big Cool Aunt is about to have a baby, to be honest. So, yeah.
She is pretty cool.
She is pretty cool.
You have a big, cool aunt.
Yeah.
That's a Moomin.
We do have Moomin.
Moomin was watching.
Thank you.
I love that you, the girl in the bear suit, was so drawn from the Callisto and Metamorphosis, and that a daughter I was telling you about before the reading, whose birthday is coming up, when I was pregnant with her, I read her Ovid's Metamorphosis out loud in utero.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's what a weirdo I am.
What's weirder is she remembers it.
She does not. She really doesn't.
I got it from her, and then she's listening to Greek mythology podcast.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Maybe it never stops, right?
It's great. And are you reading anywhere else soon?
I am. Yeah. There's probably, so I don't know if folks follow me on Instagram. Jen J. Blackburn on Instagram. So I'll have information about upcoming readings there.
Nice.
There may be one coming up in the next couple of days or so, a postponed reading. So I'll announce if that happens. And then I think June 5th, that's a Wednesday, I'm going to be reading at Broadside Books.
Oh, wonderful.
So,
Good. Cool. If you check that out, there will also be photos from Boston.
Yes, yeah. Yes. If you check out my Instagram, you'll also see Coraline at her first concert last night. She was in the front row.
You look so happy. Cheek Face was your first concert?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Cheek Face.
Yep.
I thought that was just a shirt, in tribute of Baby You.
It's not 7-Eleven. It's 7 Cheek Face. They also should have done a 4, because there's 4 band members.
We had a really good time.
Yeah. And there's a pancake machine at the hotel. A pancake machine.
There was a pancake machine.
It's awesome. It makes it beeped a lot. 1 minute.
You're going to be the star of this podcast episode. So you get to watch the pancake machine making the pancakes?
Yeah, that's cool.
Does the machine also put the syrup on? Do you push a button for syrup?
No.
That would be
sadly
cool.
No.
When you grow up, you can build a better pancake machine.
I will.
That's a life goal. Mm-hmm. I love the Mad Honey.
Oh, thank you.
I love
your
roller skate.
Thanks. Oh, of course. You're a resident rollerblader, right?
Yeah.
And Gene Kelly. Always Gene Kelly over Fred Astaire.
Oh, yeah. Kind of no question, right? Yeah.
No question.
I want to go to Moomin Land.
I know.
Yeah.
We should all go to Moomin Land.
Moomin Land.
Somewhere in Finland, there's a Moomin Land.
There's a Moomin house, playhouse.
Where?
That you can buy.
Oh no. This is a dangerous thing to know.
I know, I'm sorry. It's on the website. There's a Moomin ship, too. I'm the devil. I've been to the website looking for Finnegan and Kellyanne, but there's the Moomin website.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some groovy stuff. Who's your favorite Moomin?
I have a Moomin mug, and then there's one with a bow tie and a hat, and I think that one's my favorite.
That's your favorite character, the one with the bow tie and the hat?
Yeah.
Have you heard the story?
Or the one with the blonde hair. No, I think I also have a Moomin poster in our room,
yeah.
And we do have the book, right?
It's somewhere, yeah.
It's in your office, because I remember we got the poster from it, and then we hung it up in our room, my room.
There's a whole series of chapter books.
Really? Oh.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there were chapters.
There's maybe six or seven. Moomin. The Adventures of Moomin. Sorry to divert this over to Moomin discussion.
No, I mean, I feel like every reading should include a Moomin chant. Moomin. Moomin.
Wasn't that great?
That was great.
You got to hear us talking with lovely Coraline, too, their 8-year-old daughter, who knows my grandsons because they all go to the same elementary school.
That's so cool. I love how small the world gets.
Yeah, I was showing her grandpa pictures of Finnegan and Killian, and she happened to see my phone. She's like, I know that kid. He goes to my school. She and Killian are both 8, and she's a fan of all things Moomin.
Yes, yes, yes.
Moomin's, which I love.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Moomins are amazing.
So I think we're gonna try to make this somewhat regular fixture, is these readings at Splendor Solace.
Or Anna Bandiera. Yeah. There's a few. We'll bring you live things, live events that are suitable for the Meet for Tea cast.
Yes. They seem to be pretty well received, and we enjoy making them and attending them. So please let us know if you've got an event coming up that maybe we would be interested in. Do drop us an email.
In the 413, please.
Yes, in Western Mass. Drop us an email at meetfortcast@gmail.com, and we'll take it under consideration. So for now, we'll see you again in a couple weeks.
Leave your 5-star review with writing and tell your friends and family to listen to Meet for TeaCast.
Indeed.
The Meet for TeaCast is produced by Elizabeth McDuffie and Meet for Tea The Valley Review. Visit Meet for Tea at www.meetfortea.com. You can reach us through meetfortcast@gmail.com. We welcome suggestions for contents for the Meet for Tea cast. If you've attended a Meet for Tea Cirque and want to hear from one of the bands or one of the spoken word contributors, please let us know. All portions are copyright Meet for Tea and their respective holders. Vote for Meet for Tea on your favorite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter @ElizaBeef, Meet for Tea on Instagram, and on the Meet for Tea and Meet for Tea cast Facebook pages. Meet for Tea is available everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.